Now, ridicule is a very powerful tool because nobody likes to be made to feel like they're a member of the Flat Earth Society. And people that believe in prophecy are going to be made to feel like this in the last days. 2 Chronicles 36:16 says, "But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy." So the Old Testament prophets were all scoffed at and laughed at and ridiculed. And Peter says that's going to happen in the end times. 2 Chronicles 36:16. That's going to happen in the end times related to the subject or the interest people have in Bible prophecy. Peter says, "Know this," verse 3. "It will come," verse 3. And you'll also notice his reference, verse 3, to the last days. This is going to come to pass in the last days. He goes on now and he gives the motive of the false teachers. He's explained the doctrine that they're going to attack, and now he begins to explain the motive or the reason why these false teachers are going to try to tear down the doctrine of the return of Christ. And he gives two motives, but one of them is there in verse 3, and it has to do with lusts. Knowing this, first of all, in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. If someone is living for lusts, they're basically living for the desires of the sin nature. And if a person is in repeated sin, the last doctrine they want to think about is the return of Christ. Because the return of Christ communicates what? Accountability. And if I'm living in flagrant sin, I don't want to think about the accountability that's coming with the return of Christ. It's like my boss at work. You know, I could be goofing off at work, and the boss could be out on vacation, and I could be worried about his return because I've been a poor steward of the workplace. So, what is your attitude towards the return of Christ? Are you afraid of it? Or are you looking forward to it? If you're afraid of it, that may be a warning from the Holy Spirit that you're indulging some sort of sin that you shouldn't be indulging. We shouldn't be, as God's people, fearful of the return of Christ. It ought to be something that we're looking forward to. But these false teachers are going to be caught up in these lusts. And so we need to understand this when people attack the doctrine of the second coming. There's a reason they're attacking it. They're attacking it because they don't like the accountability that the doctrine introduces. The second motive that these folks are going to be giving themselves to, motive number one is lust and a denial of judgment. Motive number two is a closed system viewpoint. And take a look, if you could, there at verse 4. And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as it was from the beginning of creation." Not only are they wrapped up in their own lusts, but they're wrapped up in a closed system mindset. A closed system mindset basically says this: there is no pattern of God intervening in creation. You know, today I haven't seen God intervene and interrupt things, so therefore He never will. Not only will He never interrupt or intervene, but He never has. And if you want a fancy name for this, it's called uniformitarianism. Has anybody heard of that word, uniformitarianism? Okay. Uniformitarianism basically means what you can see in front of you, the pattern that you can see in front of you, has always been and will always be. The observable pattern in the present therefore becomes the key to understanding the unobserved past and future. Now, how many people were there when God brought the heavens and the earth into existence? How many eyewitnesses were there? Probably just God Himself, right? Depending on when you date the and angels, when they came into existence. But at original creation, God was the only one there. So, you have to make a decision whose word you're going to take for it. How did things happen? You can either trust what you see and pretend that what you see has always been. And you have to do that because you weren't there to see it. So, to develop a view on what happened, you simply look at the present and pretend like the present has always been. That's called uniformitarianism. Or, you cannot trust your five senses and trust God who was there. And that's the great test of faith that we're caught in. Who are we going to trust here? But the world system in the last days would move into uniformitarianism, where the present is the key to the past and to the future. I would say that's an ungodly way of viewing things. But that's how people in the last days will start to think. And this is actually the dominant perspective that is taught in most institutions of academia from cradle to grave. All of the youth are raised in this viewpoint that you determine what happened in the ancient past and in the future by what you can see in the present. So they'll look at rocks and say, well, look at how slowly it takes for, like in the Grand Canyon, layers to form. And they'll say, well, that very slow process has always been, and it will always be. So that's how they start to develop this mindset that this universe that we're in has been here for billions and billions and billions of years. Because they're pretending that the process they can see in the present has always been, and will always be. Whereas my Bible says God interrupted things quickly, didn't He? Now, how do I know He did that? I wasn't there to see it, but I take His word for it because He was the only eyewitness that was there. So who am I going to trust in all of this? So these false teachers are basically moving into this idea that this world is closed. God hasn't interrupted things today. Therefore, He never has and He never will. There's a really interesting verse in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. I believe that what is being taught today to a large extent is a false science, where people who were not there in the unobserved past are pretending like they know what happened based on their five senses and what they can see. And this actually is going to become the teaching philosophy of these false teachers in the last days. You see, I don't really have a problem believing that Jesus Christ is going to come back and intervene miraculously. I don't have a problem believing that. You know why I don't have a problem believing that? Because I believe that that's how He started everything. I believe that He spoke and the heavens and earth leapt into existence. And I have that view not based on what I can see in the present, but my trust in what God says in His Word. And if Jesus started everything with a miracle, is it too hard for Jesus to end everything with a miracle? It's not hard to believe that at all. And you'll notice how creation is connected to the end times. The two doctrines go together. If God moved miraculously and suddenly in the unobserved past, then how hard is it for God to move miraculously and suddenly in the unobserved future? It's easy to believe that. But if I reject the Bible, the only thing I'm stuck with is what I can see. And I just pretend like what I can see has always been and will always be. So hopefully that makes some kind of sense, but that's basically uniformitarianism.